loyalists, haters, and the like. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here behind the Sam Nation microphone, with great pleasure addressing you this inaugural Sam Nation podcast. We're still deep behind the orange curtain, safely ensconced in the studio. And again, I know I'm answering to the call, the clarion call from so many of you who have reached out through Twitter, by email, Instagram, and elsewhere, and told me that that you're devastated about the show leaving the airwaves over at KABC. For those of you who missed the last show that aired Thursday a week ago, and is also up on the podcast, so it is on samnation.com. Let me just reiterate here that this is nothing more than me making a decision to spend some more time with my young kids. I've got a 10-year-old, as you know, a 7-year-old, and a little Ava turned 5 on Wednesday. So my baby is 5 years old, and I know that within a, you know, it'll be a blink of the eye, and my baby will be 18 and then 21, and then I don't even want to think that far ahead. So it goes fast. I recognize that it goes fast. Those of you who are parents, who are aunts and uncles, who have some kids in your life in whatever form that may be, know that they grow up quickly. I know they're only going to be little once. So these long days at the office followed by long nights here at the studio, as much as I like, not just like, love Bill and Robbie and Missy and the whole crew, I need to be a dad. So for now, we will be doing a weekly podcast. It's going to be here on Saturdays. This is ideal for me because it's Saturday. It's a nice, easy day. The weekend is a great time to reflect on what's happened during the week. And so I have this great opportunity to, instead of react to things in the moment, which is fun too. I think, frankly, I'm good at it. Not to, you know, give myself a too big a pat on the back, but I'm good at reacting to things in the moment. And then I'm also good, maybe better at reflecting on things with a few days, time to digest. So that's what this 2 hour, it would be normally a broadcast 2 hour, but the 2 35-minute, parts here of the show will be roughly that. So we will follow the same format that we always did. If you never listened to the radio show and only subscribe to the podcast, guess what? This is basically going to be almost exactly like the show. Only instead of 3 to 5 a week, you only get one. And I'm sorry about that. Maybe things will change as time goes on. Now, the big story, friends, the big story right now is gun control. Don't be fooled. Everything else is second position. And it's gun control, not because gun control is the answer. It's gun control because gun control is the preconceived solution. No, not a solution. It's the preconceived agenda, excuse me, that the left has had from day one. What happened in Florida, what happened in Parkland at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High, is nothing more than a prop for the left to attack the Second Amendment. If you think that's harsh, by the way, mark my words, it's not. Now, the relationship. Okay, I understand. There's some of you out there who are big gun nuts. And I'm not talking to you right now in the moment because you understand what guns are. You get it. You're hearing crazy things in the media and you're scratching your head, going, what the hell are these people talking about? They've lost their minds. They don't even know what they're talking about. I get it, and bear with me here, because I want to speak to those of you maybe that grew up without any guns, never had a weapon in the house, never fired a gun. I went out with a friend, a very good friend who works for a very successful burger company. I will leave it at that. Okay, he works for In-N-Out. His name's Matt. He's a great guy. And he is funny because we were talking and I realized he never has fired a gun. And I was in very similar shoes because my parents never kept guns in the house when I was little. And so I think my very first experience with a gun was I turned 21 in California, 21, you can buy a handgun. I somehow thought, I don't know even why, what gave me the idea, but I went to the local gun store, which by the way is out of business now, over here in Newport Beach. And I went to this gun store and I bought myself a 9mm handgun and then proceeded with friends to go to the range and shoot it. That was it. I had a gun. And I took it to the range and it was fun. I'm not a gun nut, but I understand guns at least to the point where I am able to talk about them. So right now, when you hear ban assault weapons, I want you to think immediately. When you hear anybody talking about banning assault weapons, the immediate reaction you ought to have is, sir or ma'am, you are a moron. That has to be your reaction. Hold on. I'll tell you why. Assault weapon, quote unquote, only relates to what the rifle looks like. It is purely a question of cosmetics. Let me explain. The assault weapon, right? The AR-15 here that was used in this horrific shooting is only an assault weapon because of cosmetic characteristics, and you can have the same exact gun that is encased in wood. And I looked this up, by the way, because I wanted to see if I really was right about this, because I'm not a huge rifle expert. And there is, I found this. I look at this, Robbie. Do you see this? Now, let me ask you something. Is that an assault weapon? It's not. But guess what it has? It's the same caliber bullet. It has a same capacity magazine, so it can hold the same amount of bullets. And it's still a rifle, which means to some extent you have some gained accuracy. It's just semi-automatic. This is 100% legal right here. This is not an assault weapon. And any efforts to ban assault weapons would not ban this rifle. And this rifle would do the same exact thing as the gun in question. Now, the other thing that just keeps astounding me is all these media types wanting to ban semi-automatic weapons. Just one more time, all of you understand this. Fully automatic, semi-automatic. Words mean things. So a fully automatic gun, you pull the trigger, you hold it down, and bop, 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 right? It's a machine gun. Those things have been illegal since the 80s, all right? You virtually impossible to buy to get the permitting required to own a machine gun in the United States. And that's federal law. Semi-automatics, however, one squeeze of the trigger equals one bullet. That's every gun, with the exception of revolvers. That's every gun. This is crazy to me. So understand those two things. Anytime somebody says assault weapon, they're talking about cosmetic features. The way the gun looks, it looks scary. It looks mean. And sure, shooters that are hell-bent on destruction and death and gore and are hopped up on video games and whatnot, they're picking guns that look mean and nasty. Yeah, there's a correlation. But if you put those guns out of circulation, I don't think that they're suddenly going to go, well, gee, Frank, guess I'm not going to be shooting up a school because I don't want to go in there with this old musket-looking thing. They don't care what it looks like. They'll care about the efficacy of it. Another thing I looked at, this is just fun. This is just interesting stuff for you all to know. You see this hunting rifle here, Robbie? I know this is radio. I have to do a bit of theater of the mind here. So here you have an AR-15 type rifle. I know this is an AR-10, but it's an AR-15 type rifle. Looks scary. Yes, looks military scary. Up here, you've got this rifle, and it looks wooden and kind of classy, like you'd pose with it if you were Eric Trump on safari. This thing, the rifle that's perfectly legal in every state, you know, it's for hunting, again, holds the same amount of bullets as the assault weapon, but the bullets are, my God, they're 30% heavier, bigger, wider, which means they do X number time more damage when they hit a target. And I asked people about this 338 Winchester Magnum that this gun shoots up here. This thing will go through walls like that. It's designed to kill elephants. So you see, when you have the media clamoring for solutions, clamoring for results, we need to do something now. It's all a bunch of hogwash. It's nonsense. And they are 100% in it for the agenda over the substance. And we know this because of what has happened now with the news that leaked out the other day. There's a student that came forward who was supposed to participate in CNN's Wednesday town hall meeting. And this town hall meeting was billed as an opportunity for students from the school to speak out. In fact, the event was titled, before the students even were selected, "Stand Up, the Students of Stoneman Douglas Demand Action." What the producers did at CNN, you see what they did? I don't know. How do you know that they're demanding action, right? Because at that point, they hadn't done their walkout yet. This was Wednesday. They held it on Wednesday, which means they already had a working title days, if not almost, 5 days, 4 days or so before that. This thing was a big event. CNN honcho, head honcho, the top guy, Jeff Zucker, he went to this event. This wasn't just Tapper and his crew. This was a hugely important deal to CNN because this is their moment. It's their agenda. They had an idea of what that agenda was. And it's not students of Stoneman Douglas offer solutions. It's they demand action. And so when a student came named Colton Habe comes along and says, "All right, I'm going to submit my questions." And one of the questions, it doesn't fit the script. CNN rejects it. And here is him speaking. Here's Colton Habe talking about the scripted questions. This is him talking to Fox News' Tucker Carlson on Thursday. Listen closely.
They had taken what I had wrote and what I had briefed on and talked about, and they actually wrote the question for me. And that's kind of why I didn't go last night. Originally, I had thought that it was going to be more of my own question and my own say, and then it turned out to be more of just a script. And she had actually said that over the phone that I needed to stick to the script.
They had a script. And I smelled a rat immediately. Those of you who maybe don't get your weekly, daily fix of Sam Nation, I'm on Twitter and I'm reacting to these events in real time. So you follow me there, Sam Nation on Twitter. But I first thing I'd said was this is fixed. It's a scam. Now, Colton Habe, the student that had his question rejected, gives a longer explanation. And you want to listen to this because it gives some of the details of this. And listen very closely.
4 days ago, I had gotten contacted by a lady named Carrie Stevenson from CNN. She had asked me originally to just write a speech. It was going to be at the town hall at the BB&T Center. So I agreed. I felt like it would be the right thing to do. I got an email back from her, and she asked for more of questions rather than a speech, which I was totally fine with. So I wrote a little less of a speech and more of questions that I wanted to ask at the town hall. So I gave her my questions, and then yesterday at about 5:15, I made contact with her. So what they had actually done was wrote out a question for me, because in my interview with CNN, I had talked about arming the teachers if they were willing to arm themselves in the school to carry on campus. And they had she had taken that of what I had briefed on and actually wrote that question out for me.
So this is what CNN is doing, and it ought to disgust you. If you have any conscience whatsoever, I don't care if you are the biggest gun control advocate out there. You have CNN taking emotionally frayed, vulnerable, I dare say raw students, kids who have just been through a traumatizing event a week early, right? 2 weeks earlier. This is all very new. And they're taking these kids and they are forcing upon. Bub, why don't you write me a nice little script here to tell you, write a little speech. Oh, wait, we don't like that. Here, rewrite it. Write a question. Oh, we don't like that either. Stick to the script. This is absurd. Now, of course, you take a big high school. I went to a big high school, went to a big public high school in a middle class area. And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of bright kids there was diversity of opinions. I was, maybe the president of the Young Republicans Club, but not everybody was. And so we had different opinions about how things ought to be. So if we'd had something like this happen, CNN would have come in and picked and chosen who they wanted to hear from, so it fit their agenda. But do not be fooled. You are getting fed lies. You're getting fed a narrative. But this isn't journalism. Anything but that. All right, more on this. Also, the NRA in the crosshairs. And I got some opinions about how this is going to play out. We got a short break and be back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation podcast. Inaugural podcast. Glad to have you here.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is a solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on the podcast of podcasts. The only podcast to have and download on samnation.com. Well, you found it, so you know where it is. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a liberal. This is a public service performed by our team here to re-educate the masses. All right. Now, have you seen this movement right now? Right now, the NRA is the bad guy. And in case you missed Wayne LaPierre's speech, Thursday at CPAC. It was his first public remarks. He's the head of the NRA, right? So his first public remarks, and everyone was just, what is he going to say? Now, I actually think some, based on the reactions out there, I think some people and the leftist journalists assumed he'd get out there and just, like some Tibetan monk was going to just light himself on fire. An act of self-immolation. This is what the left thinks of the NRA. He actually came out swinging. Not shooting, swinging. I make that clear. He made a great point. He goes, listen, we were the first people who advocated for a background check. But the background check is only as good as the information that you put into it. If the military, for example, as an arm, as an auxiliary of the U.S. government, fails to input relevant psych information about a particular person, and that particular person then, as a consequence of it, is not flagged in a background check, that's a problem. It's a huge problem. So he talks about that. He talks about how a lot of states, like California, it's always the liberal states, right? They said, no, we can't disclose this. By the way, everybody deserves a second chance. And, this person really isn't a felon. We got to recategorize them because, we have overcrowding in the jails. So these people who really technically are violent felons no longer are violent felons because we just sort of moved them over here to this pile. And now, one of the consequences of our insane agenda here in California is what? These recategorized nonviolent offenders, yeah, right, are now not being reported to the registry, are not being reported into the background check system. So one of the conversations that must be had here, and it's very easy, right? If you're CNN, if you're Jake Tapper, very easy to make the NRA out to be the scapegoat. Very easy to make the NRA out to be the bad guy. It's extremely easy to say, why have we ever done anything? How is this possible? Meanwhile, there are systems in place that are broken. There's a background check system that isn't getting the right information fed into it because states, many of whom are quite liberal, are not complying. It's also broken because, well, I don't know, you've got an FBI that, as Ann Coulter put it, is busy chasing every Somalian that's been brought in as a refugee and tracking, I don't know, however many terrorist cells, is busy, you know, hunting, you know, Russian ghosts, doesn't have the time, the resources, or the discipline to follow up on credible leads. So you have a system, you know, one of the things that I always, and this comes from work in the private sector. When you have a problem that occurs, let's put it this way. When you have a whoopsie daisy, and I don't want to say it that way because I don't want to minimize, you know, a bunch of people that are young kids that are shot down as a whoopsie daisy. But when you are the FBI and you don't follow up on a lead, that's a problem. But the first step in analysis is, was there a system? And if the answer is yes, and the answer is yes, there's a freaking hotline. It's called, and there's an agency. And this is what they do. So then the next question is, Frank, what broke? And do we need new law, or do we need to manage an existing system better? Do we need to demand accountability? Do we need to perhaps throw out some of these career employers who are fat and happy and not doing much? All valid questions, and none of which are being asked over at CNN. They're just, we got to do something. We got to do something now. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation podcast. Okay, when we talk about an example, I was talking about how proper information oftentimes isn't being put in to the background check database that is used to qualify people for gun ownership. And when we talk about solutions, the first question we got to know is the system that we have now working? And the short answer is it's not. And one of the cases here that I think best illustrates that is the shooting that was just outside of Corpus Christi. When was this? Back in November last year. We had a guy named Devin Kelly kill 26, wound 20 others at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Now, he had been with the military, had an extensive bad rap record. He beat up his wife, beat up his stepson. He had convictions. And the military hadn't put this information in to the database. They just didn't do it. Someone didn't do their job. And as a consequence, this guy was able to go out and purchase a bunch of weapons, which he used then to perpetrate this act of mass murder. The clarion call by CNN, by MSNBC, and others on the left to do something is all fine and dandy, but what if we just pass more laws and we have the same idiotic bureaucracy enforcing them? You know, laws are not always the answer. Well, what was the best example of that? Drugs? How many laws do we have outlawing drugs? There are drugs out there? For sure. And by the way, you know, the one I have a lot of fun with. So liberals always care about innocent lives as long as they're not in the womb. The minute it's a fetus, I don't care if it's fully formed. I mean, it's a woman's choice. But anyway. So what is one of the arguments that I have oftentimes heard pro-choice activists use? Is they say, look, we don't want, if you outlaw abortion, you're just going to drive it underground. You're going to have these, you know, backroom abortion clinics. Are you going to use coat hangers, mangle women? And okay, I buy that argument, by the way. But the same is true for drugs. The same is true for guns. There are 30 million guns in the U.S. right now, give or take a couple. You're going to put that genie back in the 300 million. What did I say? Oh, 300 million. There is almost one gun for every American. It's a lot of guns. Going to put that genie back in the bottle. You're suddenly going to say, all right, now everybody turn in their weaponry right now, starting now. I have a question for you. How much of those, how many of those 300 million rifles and handguns are going to be turned in? 60%? 70? 80? Still a lot of guns out there. I'm saying you've got to be practical and pragmatic, but believe me, I'm telling you, the objective here is for the abolishment of the Second Amendment. It is the shrewder liberals out there are skirting around the issue or masking it. So we got to find solutions here and common sense compromise and that kind of thing. And so you even have people, and I've heard this now many times, and you even have people saying in the media things like, oh, that Wayne LaPierre guy over at the NRA thinks that this is all just a bunch of hokey pokey. He thinks that this is a conspiracy to disarm Americans. And it's this type of, no, this is what you've been hearing. What is that old geezer talking about? I'm saying the same thing about Dana Loesch. She's the young, very articulate spokesperson for the NRA, and she looked great. But I was watching this with my wife as she was speaking at the at CPAC, and we both agreed. Now, if you didn't see it, she wore a really smart outfit. We both agreed that she was dressed absolutely professionally and to kill. Just not with her gun, with her looks. Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Okay, the NRA is having getting some blowback. Most notably, I saw this morning that Enterprise Rental Car is going to stop giving discounts, partnering basically with the NRA to give discounts to NRA members. Who cares? Enterprise sucks anyways. And besides, one other observation about Enterprise. You giving in to these boycott calls only pisses off the loyalty of the NRA members. So I'm an NRA member. And I'm not going to use Enterprise now. If I got a choice, I won't use you. And I think there are other people, judging from what I see on Twitter and elsewhere and speaking to my friends, I think it has the reverse effect. It alienates the group that feels that it is very much under attack. And that is what's happening now. So, small aside. Now, as far as Wayne LaPierre being out, you know, off his rocker for thinking that there's a conspiracy out there, well, here you have a panelist on CNN's Wolf Blitzer on Thursday talking about this. Her name is Malika Henderson, and this is her reaction, her raw reaction to Wayne LaPierre's speech at CPAC.
Ultimately, they're conspiracy theorists. I mean, that's what Wayne LaPierre is talking about, this idea that ultimately Democrats want to grab everyone's guns. There's no evidence that is actually what is going on, but it's good red meat for that crowd there.
Now, well, that's all fine and dandy, except now this is Brett Stevens over at The New York Times, which may as well be the Pravda of the Democratic Party. Yes, right. This is the official news agency for the American left. And he's talking again, same day, Dateline Thursday on MSNBC, about what our goals ought to be vis-a-vis the Second Amendment.
Part of the failure of the efforts so far is that there hasn't been a great goal toward which to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been saying in the pages of the Times, we should repeal the Second Amendment. And I say this for a variety of reasons, but one of them is often piecemeal gun control efforts don't work. But the other thing is this it's going to be very difficult to get at the root of the problem, which is about 300 million guns swimming around in the United States, unless you say, no, in fact, you do not have an automatic constitutional right to buy these kinds of weapons. Now, I know that right now, when I say that, people say it's a pipe dream, it's never going to happen. But 25 years ago, if you had said marriage equality, that would have been a pipe dream. You set out the goal, and then you work toward it.
Now, as a lawyer, I love this. Right. So, okay. See, we got gay marriage. 25 years ago, if somebody had said, well, you know, think about that, gay marriage, people would go, not going to happen. The only problem is that gay marriage is an affirmative right that is, I think, as best as I can tell, constitutionally sound. It's an affirmative right that I believe is granted in the Constitution, just like the right to bear arms is. So this is classic liberalism 101 for you. You see, the Constitution is a great thing. It is an absolutely noble document, so long as it supports what you want. But if it don't support what you want, guess what? Oop, we got to change it. Erase that Second Amendment. It is not helpful. Get that, cross that out. Out, gone, erased. So-called rights. This guy continues. Brett Stevens talking to Nicole Wallace. This is him talking about what he thinks of the Second Amendment. Listen.
There's something kind of aggressively and inhumanly repetitive about this line that guns are essential to American liberties, a hard one to stomach when so many thousands of people are dying every year for this so-called liberty.
How do the voices of law enforcement, the voices of the victims, and the voices of a majority of Americans who are for common sense restrictions on, I agree with you, a so-called not break through this time?
Huh? So-called liberty, so-called right. Yeah. Well, how about that? Gay marriage is a so-called liberty and a so-called right. But for sure, he's not saying that. But it certainly doesn't sound like a conspiracy of the left. This whole idea of them wanting to take away guns. I mean, that is just crazy talk. Nobody would ever in their right mind. That's not the goal or the objective. Well, I call BS on that for sure. It is absolutely 100% the goal. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rzhovsky. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Do you know why I want guns? Why I want the right to own weapons? And I don't need, you know, I'm not asking for a nuke. Not asking for a bazooka. I'm not asking for a fully automatic, you know, machine gun. But why I want to keep a gun in the home, I'll tell you. The police are not the end-all, be-all protectors. I'm a huge fan of law enforcement, don't get me wrong. But we are now finding out that up to 4 sheriff's deputies waited outside Douglas High during the shooting. They hid behind their police cars, waiting for backup. The school resource officer, Thursday or Friday, I think he resigned after he basically ran out and hid, didn't do anything. Nick Cruz is in there blasting students, killing children. And the officer assigned to the school is hiding. Now, I know that that is not representative of what far and wide law enforcement is about. But even the bravest, most determined, most insane police officer who will run into danger, when it comes to my house, I don't know, my guess is they're 10 minutes away. I kind of live up a windy road. So unless that cop happens to be doing a welfare check in my neighborhood, 10 minutes away, lights and siren. Okay, 10 minutes, I'm dead. If somebody comes into my house and wants to do me harm, I'm a goner. So I want a fighting chance. I do. I give the best example I have of this is years ago when I was first married. My wife, not a big gun lady, doesn't like guns, and was a little irritated that we had a handgun in the house. But anyway, in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, whatever, we were woken up with a door that suddenly slammed inside the house. And then it sounded like somebody was rummaging downstairs. Well, I went to the drawer, got the guns before kids, you know, I just went to the drawer, got the gun, went downstairs, found out it was the wind and whatever, there was no one there. But I will tell you, the discussion ended that day about keeping guns in the house because my wife felt safer because I had a gun, and I would have shot somebody if they were in the house. Easy. And I wish that the bad guys out there that are breaking into homes all over, you know, Orange County, L.A. County, New York, wherever, I wish they all had the fear of God in them that every time they broke into a house that's occupied, somebody might shoot at them. I think there's a huge deterrent factor there. And I think the operative issue that nobody wants to talk about as they laugh at Trump for suggesting that we arm teachers is the reason that students are getting killed in schools is not because of the NRA, but it's because of this leftist insane idea that we're going to create gun-free zones. You know what those are? Those are sitting duck zones. Those are unarmed innocence zones. Those are victim zones. You might as well call them by what they really are. Because what a school shooter knows is they're going to go into that school and no one is allowed to have a gun on campus. The only person that's going to have a gun on that campus might be a school resource officer who may or may not be hiding behind his car, and the shooter. And no one else is armed. And that is why you have school shootings. This is why you have church shootings. This is why people are dying. And no one wants to mention this on the left. No one at all. Because in their perfect dream world, what do? You create an imaginary zone. It's like saying a field of sheep, right? And you put up a sign saying no wolves. Yeah, that works in nature. If it doesn't work in nature, it's not going to work in society. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, another hour headed right your way. Stay tuned.
Gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right and the rest of everyone is wrong.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live, not live. I'm not on the radio anymore, but I am on this podcast, and you are listening to me, and I'm grateful to have you. I'm very happy that we are going to be doing this once a week. It's going to be a fun thing here to do on the weekends with Robbie, Bill, and the crew. So thank you guys for coming in and doing this. I much appreciate it. I will tell you this. Friends, there are some very, very sad liberals out there this week. Very sad. They're crying. They're seeing their shrinks. They're drinking their kombucha beverages. If you don't know what that is, I think it's a very horrid tasting probiotic drink favored by the woke and the very cool and hip, which I am not. But anyway, the reason that they are so sad, the reason that they are so beside themselves is because the daily presidential tracking poll has Trump at 50% approval rating. This is not how it was supposed to go, right? The daily onslaught by 96-97% negative press on Trump, Mueller and his team should have had, you know, some very serious indictments and not. Did you see they went back to the they went back and got Manafort and Gates. They went back and charged them again. And Gates folded. I think he's pleading. He pled guilty on Friday to some of the charges. He's doing a plea, taking a plea. And again, it's being heralded as, an insider has turned. This is nuts. Mueller's out there at the butterfly net, skipping around, chasing Russian ghosts. And the net result of all of this, to continue their metaphor, the net result of all of this is what? Trump's approval continues to go up. And it's because, in part, we were just talking about the this very aggressive call for action on guns. You got Trump. There are even people on the left, some reasonable people, are saying he actually looks like the only adult in the room. And the reason is he's not at this stage calling for some type of result. He's saying, let's look at our options. He's not saying no to anything. He's not saying no to. In fact, one of the things, one of the options out there that I think he's floated is the 21 age restriction on long guns. I have mixed thoughts about this, by the way. Well, we put fully automatic weapons in the hands of 17-year-olds in the military and say, by the way, go off there to Afghanistan and go blow up some bad guys. But I understand that the military has a screening process that is a little more, rigorous. Robbie's kind of nodding his head a little bit, slightly shaking it. No, come on. There's a rigorous process of that's designed to eliminate total nuts. Wouldn't you say that? Now, I personally, when it comes to guns, this is my philosophy is, and I'm with the NRA on this. I'm all about background checks. I don't think that insane people should have guns. I don't think that everybody should have guns. I don't think felons should have guns. I don't think that people who have been previously convicted of violent crime should have guns. I get all that. I think that this is absolutely a no-brainer. Now, if you're telling me, would this guy not have shot up his school if he were unable to legally purchase a gun at 18? If there was a federal age of 21, so this guy was basically screwed. He'd have to wait until he was 21 to go and blow up some schools, shoot up some school. I don't know. I think he would have found a way to get the gun. This is my opinion. We deal with reality here on this program. And the reality is where there's a will, there's a way. Maybe he couldn't get his hands on a gun. You are right. Absolutely. Maybe he couldn't. So he goes on the internet and he builds a pressure cooker bomb like, you know, the Sarnaev brothers did. He blows up the school instead. You see, last week there was a knife attack in China. Oh, something like 20 to 30 people were killed. It was one guy with a knife. I admit readily that a knife is less effective than an AR-15. I get that. But you can still do tremendous amount of damage. So if somebody is a homicidal maniac, the tools of their trade are, to me, less relevant, ultimately, than their actual mental state. And I want us to have a system that works. I want us to have an FBI that follows up on leads. I mean, one of the things that we all learned after September 11th is, well, we had these agencies. We were paying all these people buttloads of money to be very important. Hi, Mar, I work with the FBI. I'm with the CIA. Look at my gun. Look at my credentials. I'm cool. And they all went out and impressed their significant others with their bravado and whatnot. Meanwhile, we had, you know, 19 Saudis in the country who were all, you know, planning to just, oh, well, we're just, you know, don't teach me how to land an airplane. I don't need any landing skills. I just need to how to fly it in the air. I don't even need to know how to take off. And you had various, you know, well, you guys know the story. You had various flight instructors calling in saying, hey, you know, we got these guys. They look a little sketchy and they're really weird as far as what they want to learn. And it got passed around. And said, all right. So the takeaway was, you know, our police, our protectors can fail us. What would I do if I ran a school? You want to ask me if I was building a school right now, if I decided to retire from my day job and the show. Right now, I've retired from the show. Now I'm going to retire from my day job, too. And I'm going to start a school. I'm going to open a private school, let's say. I will tell you this. The number one thing I would do to protect that school is to make it impossible to enter that school from anywhere but one point of entry. And I was at a high school here in Irvine the other day. I won't say which one, but I noticed that they have now constructed really high steel or metal fencing that is solid. I'm not talking about like chain link that you can climb up and over. I mean, you know, high sort of bars, actually, that form this fence perimeter around that school. And Robbie, you know which one I'm talking about? I'll tell you later. But this, my mind is devious. So whenever I look at something or a system, I'm always thinking, how am I going to break it, right? This is how we lawyers think this way. We always think, if there's a rule, how are we going to get around it, right? That's what our clients want us to do. So I'm looking at this wall, and I go, how would I get through this? You know, how would I do this? And I'm kind of walking around school because I parked. It was at an event, weekend event, and there was no parking. So I parked really far, and I'm forced to walk all the way around this campus to get to the front of it. I was very annoyed. Well, I came to the realization, I said, this is effective. So the first thing you do is you make it impossible for somebody to just show up, and you put one point of entry, and you know what? You make it so that that person can't get past a lobby without checking in. And schools, because we're in the United States and we are a very open society and very, you know, loving and everything is great and we don't want to institutionalize our children and la da da. There was a big movement in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, pre-Columbine, where campuses were built, school campuses were built in a very open, airy way. Best example I can think of, my elementary school, which was built, I think, in the late 70s, just built in, you know, clusters of classrooms with open courtyards and such. And it was a very progressive way of building a school. But it's just given what's going on, it's not the way it ought to be. You've got to have some enclosures. Now, the other thing is, and I know this, I've priced this out. If you're going with private security, one armed guard, you know how much it's going to run you in California if you go through one of the security services? About $200,000 a year. And that is to pay that person to be there 8 hours. And the trick is they have to take a lunch, so I don't know how you cover that. There's probably more pricing for that. But at any rate, you've got somebody there for 8 hours, $200,000. Now, maybe if you're going to have them there for a half day or for a school day or whatnot, it'll be a little bit less. You can shave some bucks off that total. It's a lot of money. But if I was building a school, I don't know what you think. I mean, if I'm building a school, then I'm putting my own kids in or I'm putting your kids in. You're trusting me with my children. I don't know if that's that bad of an idea. And let me tell you something else. I go to LA Unified Schools. Take me to LA Unified headquarters, wherever the district's headquarters is. And we will walk through office upon office upon office of useless administrators that all make well north of $200,000 a year. I promise you that. So maybe what we ought to do And this is going through private security. This district could hire a big district. I'm talking about a private school. A big district could hire its own security guards. Let's just shave off, throw the useless bureaucrats out and hire some armed security. Because the reality is you cannot wait for this world to turn around. You cannot wait. You're not right. They've got a, you heard that New York Times reporter last hour. He's got a plan. His plan is that, 25 years from now, it's like marriage equality, right? We're going to get rid of the Second Amendment. Well, can we afford to wait 25 years? If it's my kids? No. So what I see schools doing right now, yes, lockdown procedures, locking up, building walls, all of this I think is effective. Because here, this school in particular, very open. Very open. And the guy literally walked in with a gun bag, which looks like, I don't know, it looks like a gun case. I mean, it does. It was a soft case designed for guns. He takes his gun out and starts, and he's in the school and nobody questions him. So there's a failure there. And you had a school resource officer. There was an on-campus officer with the gun and didn't do anything. A big brouhaha right now is Trump going out there and saying, maybe we ought to arm teachers. This is a great idea. Now, the way I picture this, let me tell you, I don't necessarily picture, is some elderly, teacher who's 2 years away from retirement. With two giant six shooters on her hips. I don't know, and they're not going to be all John Wayne. But I do think certain teachers. If I were a teacher in this environment, I would want the option of being able to have a lockbox in my room with a handgun that I've been trained to use. And, by the way, a lot of veterans, Robbie knows this, a lot of veterans go into teaching. And I'm telling you, I make you a promise that some of these vets know how to use guns better than a lot of cops. OK. And again, it's the deterrent factor right now. You've got if a shooter comes in and Adam Lanza goes to a school. And if he knows that he's not going to encounter any resistance. It's a different game. It's a different operation. Certainly a different operation than if every time somebody walks into a school intent on doing harm, thinks, I wonder if this classroom I'm going to go in, I wonder if that teacher is going to pull a gun and shoot back at me. I know, and one of the arguments I'm hearing right now is, well, you just this crossfire, and now it's going to be a shootout and you're gonna have a teacher shooting wildly. Well, look, kids are dropping dead in a classroom at that point. Who the frick cares? I hate to be callous about it, but don't you want a fighting chance? If you were in that room, would you want your teacher to be armed? See, the kids we're hearing from are all having their answers scripted by CNN. So it's kind of a funny deal. You really think about it. What would you want? I know what I'd want. I'd want a teacher that I'd want the option to be able to fight back. Now, I will tell you, I had an experience like this in college. Now, not a shooting incident, but I've always meant to share this. And in fact, I was going to share the story on our last broadcast a week ago Thursday. And I didn't get around to it because other things came up, as is often the case. When we come back. Let me give you a short synopsis of this. It's a good story, and it was my experience of what happens when the system fails. Because the system did fail, and I'm lucky nothing happened. I'll skip to that end of the story. Nothing happened. But all right, I'll get to it right after the break. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Majowski. You'll find him very entertaining. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Samerjowski, Sam Nation. Okay, as promised, let me tell you a quick story here. When I went to college, I know my story, right? I went to college, then I left school, and then as an adult working, I went back to school for night classes, finished my degree, so that I could go to law school. And in one of my night classes, there was a student who was absolutely verifiably deranged. Besides being creepy, I mean, he was absolutely creepy, I was not the only person that thought this, right? There was a consensus. And this super creepy kid would say things like, "Here's my idea of how to commit the perfect murder." And then he'd lean in really close and give you just an insane story about it. But it all involved guns. He loved guns. He loved shooting guns. He had social media that showed him shooting guns. And he was just very dark and always carried this suspicious backpack. And talked about things like where he needed to sit in the classroom so he could, you know, if he needed to shoot. And things, I mean, he was very explicit in the things that he said. And enough people were worried that I heard that some had gone to a school administration. And their response to it was essentially, well, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't acted on anything. Have you seen a gun? No, we haven't seen a gun. Has he made an actual explicit threat? No, it's all very, you know, passive and circumstantial. And so the school did nothing. And it got worse and worse. And I forget some of the things that he said. It was to the point, I was a little bit older as a student. So the professors were, some of them were more my age, actually, closer to my age. And so I befriended one of them. And remember, we talk. He thought he had filed a report. He told me, you know, said, "This kid is crazy. I don't want him anywhere near me." So I have a friend who was at the time, still is, a retired sheriff's deputy. And she, I told her about it. And she goes, "Well, I want to come. I'm just going to hang out with you. I'm going to go to class, make sure nothing happens." So my solution was I had my friend, who was a deputy, pretend to be a student in class. And it was pretty funny. She brought a backpack and acted like a student. And I basically told my professor, I go, "She's here. She's got a gun. She's watching the student." And the most insane thing happened, right? Because generally speaking, if you go to a school and say, "I got a gun on campus," they're going to call the police. Well, she was the police, so it was a little bit different. And every single professor who I shared this kid and a class with, every single one of them was absolutely delighted that she was there. And my takeaway from that is that we may not like guns. We may not like the idea of firing guns and shooting guns, but we like the idea of trained good guys with guns. We love that idea. It's why we put guys and gals like that in police uniforms. It's why we put people like that at airports, in jewelry stores, in banks. I mean, it's a normal thing. But for some reason, and this is the Pollyannish classic liberal just insanity, we think of our kids, liberals purport to cherish children, only once born, and we think we have to create this fantasy land utopia that is gun free. And the only thing that is stopping somebody from bringing a gun onto that campus, into that fantasyland utopia, is a sign in front of the school that says, "Oh, don't bring any guns and don't bring any drugs and don't bring any tobacco products." It's a freaking joke. Everybody who's been to high school knows there's drugs, there's tobacco products, and of course we now know that people bring guns. And when they're hell-bent on a suicide mission, right? If their objective is to kill and they don't care what the consequences to them are, what do you think they give a rat's rear end about what the law says that you can and cannot do? Absolutely not. All right, there it is. More CPAC. You got it. I got some great clips of Trump yesterday. It was good stuff. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation podcast. So happy to be with you.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, podcast time. Here we go. Now, Trump, yesterday, in the morning our time, about 10 o'clock, 10:30 East Coast time, gave a tremendous CPAC speech. Now, he was the keynote address, and he absolutely hit it out of the park. I know it's really funny because I was watching it on Fox News, and I saw right before it began, whoever it was that was, I don't know, one of the babes there on Fox, brought in Chris Wallace to authenticate and pontificate some of what was going on, and asks him, what can we expect in this speech? And Chris Wallace said something to the effect of, well, given the fact that I'm God's greatest gift to journalism, I would be stupid to try to tell you what will happen because Trump is totally unpredictable. But I expect that he will here and there go off script. He's comfortable doing that, blah, blah, blah. The implication was, of course, yeah, he may go off script, but he's going to follow the prompt. He's going to stay on the road. Well, Trump, I don't even know if there was anything on the prompter. And the brilliance of him, for all of you people who hate him, you don't understand what enormous intellect it takes, and not just intellect, but emotional intelligence, to be able to get up on a stage and hold an audience captive for an hour and absolutely wow them and take them through. The speech was called meandering by the critics. It was not. It was 100% fluid. It hit all the main points. Yes, it was red meat because, folks, it's CPAC. The purpose of the speech, the only purpose of this speech, was to motivate the grassroots of the conservative movement of the Republican Party to go out and vote in the midterms. The 100% of this was Trump linking the success of his agenda to the success of congressional Republicans in the midterms. Now, he has to do this. You got to understand, he has to do this because the base is excited about Trump, but not excited about congressional Republicans, right? There's an enormous disparity there. And Trump recognizes that, you know, that there are people that showed up to vote for him that are still very much on the Trump train, in spite of what you hear, right? They're on the Trump train, but they are not on the Paul Ryan train, the Mitch McConnell train. Not excited about those two trains. Those are not that is not the platform they want to be standing on to be leaving from. And so Trump needs to get those people to go to the polls and vote. And he's saying, look, he didn't say it this way, but his entire plea was go and show up and vote, because if you don't, instead of dealing with Paul Ryan, I'm dealing with Nancy Pelosi. Instead of dealing with Mitch McConnell, I'm dealing with Chuck Schumer. And it was extremely effective. Now, was it polished? I don't, you know, well, okay, well, Obama gave, you know, so-called polished speeches. Everything was on the prompter. You know, remember when Remember when Obama's teleprompter, somebody created a joke Twitter account for it, and it was like it became a life of its own because he was so dependent on it. You know, he'd show up to talk to 20 people and out came the presidential teleprompter. You know, just a totally different – it's a totally different deal. Now, of course, you know, yeah, Chris Matthews, Chris Tingles Matthews loved it, right? Soaring style and like all this, but Trump was fantastic. Oh, you know how he opened. If you missed this, this was classic. All right, we'll play the clip right when we get back. You know, the highest form of communication, most effective form of communication is to open an emotional door through a little self-deprecating humor. So this is very important. And I'll tell you one thing, a big difference between Obama and Trump. Dude, Obama could not make fun of himself very well because he took himself too seriously. So I'll play this for you right when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation podcast.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live. Not live. Gosh, there it goes. I keep making this mistake. Live to tape? All right. Well, we're going to push this thing out as quickly as we can. So we're, you know, it's coming to you hot off the presses in a few minutes. All right. Self-deprecating humor is very effective. When you're a speech giver, if you are a speaker intent on persuading an audience, the best way to win them over is to be to poke fun at yourself. And here is Trump. He gets up. He gets a standing ovation, right? The crowd goes wild. I got to set this up. The crowd goes wild. And he's clapping. You know, he's doing this thing. And he kind of, there's a picture up of him projected on a big screen above the stage. And he kind of points up to the picture, you know, look at me. Right? The way the media perceived this, by the way, is they thought this was self-involved. They do not understand this at all. They're so obsessed with their hate of him. So anyway, here is he looks up the picture, kind of stands back, turns his head back to the audience. So now he's facing behind him. If he were speaking, right, he's facing the back of the stage where a picture is up of him on the screen, and says this.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that. I'd love to watch that guy speak. Oh, boy. Let's see. I try like hell to hide that bald spot, folks. I work harder. Doesn't look bad. Hey, we're hanging in. We're hanging in. We're hanging in there, right? Together, we're hanging in.
Extremely effective. It just is so good. It's cleanly done. And the whole time he's kind of running his fingers over his hair. And then, oh, of course, because this is arguably Trump won the election when he let who was it, Jimmy Fallon? Who was it that? Yeah. Here, mess with my hair. It's real. Look, play with it. It's extremely humanizing. And you can hear the crowd's reaction to it. They liked it. But I also want to point out another thing. This is what he does. He routinely speaks as we and not I. Obama did a lot of I speaking. And it's very high and mighty. And the only reason he got away from it was because, well, he was one of them. Speaking of the left-wing media. But Trump does this. You know, hey, we're in this together. You know, And the media totally misinterpreted this. The way it was presented was, he's like so full of himself and touching himself, and who the heck does he think he is? Now, he also got into some substantive things. One thing I really liked is his engagement with the audience. This is, again, beyond just self-deprecating humor. He's able to get the audience engaged. And he's talking here about tax cuts versus the Second Amendment. And he wants to gauge the support of the audience. Trying to figure out which issue is more important to them. Listen to this. Very effective how he did this.
They get in. They will repeal your tax cuts. They'll take away your Second Amendment, which we will never allow to happen. They'll take away your Second Amendment. Remember that. They will take away. Thank you. They will take away those massive tax cuts, and they will take away your Second Amendment. By the way, if you only had a choice of one, what would you rather have, the Second Amendment or the tax cuts? Go ahead. Second Amendment, tax cuts. Second Amendment. I'm going to leave it at the Second Amendment. I don't want to get into that battle. All right?
See? Now the crowd went wild for it, all right? And notice he didn't even give him a chance to vote. He wanted the cameras to capture what the base thinks of the Second Amendment, what his supporters think of the Second Amendment. So for all of you out there that think that this is, you know, Trump is actually a devoted Second Amendment guy, because there's some background to this. I'll explain that here up next. There is an important point here to make, and it comes from his time in New York. And he was a permit holder. I don't know if you knew this. He had a concealed carry permit. Because, you know, I mean, New York before Giuliani was a mess. It's starting to be a mess again, because every time a Democrat's in charge, the wheels come off the thing. Anyway, but I think also Trump understands that it's important. He's reaching out to the base. He wants the base motivated to go out and vote. And if you're a Democrat and they're expecting Nancy Pelosi as speaker, you ought to be scared to death. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation. All right. It's interesting, too, on the gun issue that Politico reported that millennials of all people, these are the same. This is the same group that 43% of them are all for socialism. They also are the least likely in the country to support a renewed ban on assault weapons. 49%. So roughly half of millennials out there are not pro gun control. I know the Democrats like to put us all into different categories, different groups, and, you know, and micro-targeting. Right? That's the word. So they're losing, on this issue at least, they're losing half of millennials. Fascinating stuff. There's a libertarian some time ago that ran in Canada for public office. His name was Tim Mowen. Back in 2014. And here is a summation of his platform. This is a quote. I want gay married couples to be able to protect their marijuana plants with guns. I like that. I mean, I've always said I'm pro liberties. And I think I know the Constitution grants us liberties. It's not a restrictive document. So the left will always try to read into the Constitution or change the Constitution in ways that negate our rights, take away our liberties. And then, of course, on issues convenient to them, they will always stretch it as far as possible to give rights and to grant liberties. And I my general reading of the Constitution, my entire approach to constitutional law is, where in doubt, assume the liberty is granted. And as broadly as possible. So, you know, it's a fascinating issue, this gun control bit, because I think you start talking to people who are very, very anti-gun. You go back to the Constitution and say, well, these are all these liberties that you are very, very, are very important to you. That are granted there. You start to rewrite the Constitution, you may end up in a bad spot. Because what happens when, you know, when a guy, you know, that is, you know, I don't know, to the right of, you know, Pence goes in and starts rewriting the Constitution? I'm pretty sure that the liberties you'll lose are not going to are going to be sorely missed. All right. You wanted a little taste of what MSNBC was saying about Trump's CPAC speech. Here you go. This is Ali Velshi on MSNBC's Velshi and Rule talking saying that the speech sounded a little dictatorial.
Okay, a sprawling, truly sprawling, meandering speech by the president, the likes of which I was saying to Stephanie, I am used to having heard from Hugo Chavez or Fidel Castro or Erdogan. President Putin gives something like this every year. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad used to give speeches like this. It was a remarkable speech. It was lie to new topic to another lie. It was a very strange speech.
Mahmoud. I love how he says that. Well, I am glad that, first of all, Putin doesn't give speeches like this at all. Putin's like the most boring, dry speech deliverer there ever was. Putin is not an orator. He's a thug. He's got a steely gaze. He looks good, apparently, people tell me, with his shirt off. But he is not, he's not going to make fun of his bald spot. That's for damn sure. All right. It's been fun. I'll see you again next week on Saturday. Listen, go to the website. Keep track of us on Twitter. Please, we're lots of updates coming to you from there. Very happy to have you here. I really appreciate you all. This would not be what it is without you. And I will not abandon you. That is my solemn promise. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, over and out.